Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and this is tape number 3, chapter 1 of the book of Joel. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this passage, this tape. Holy Father God, Lord, there has been a famine in the land. Not a famine for food, because people have become gluttons. Famines are happening for food in places like Africa and India, places where people have rejected you, in China, have rejected your word. And you said that if people will not hearken unto you, that you'd send a famine. And you have sent famines on different parts of the country, and it's just really too bad, very sad, that people don't realize what your word says, because if they'd believe your word, they would start hearkening unto your word, and they would start obeying what you tell them to do in the word, and there would be no famine coming. But because that there's a famine for your word in the world, people are wandering around like cattle. They have no idea what's wrong. They're in a quandary. The sheep are bleating out because they are starving for the word of the Lord. People are committing suicide. There's no rationale in the world, because yours is the only rationale. Lord, open up the hearts, the minds, and the souls, the spirits, and the mind of the spirit of people to receive your words and your warnings in the book of Joel. We ask, Lord, that you do this in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's start reading from the book of Joel. We'll start out with verse 1, chapter 1 in the King James Version.
The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Commentary, verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Joel, son of Pethuel.
Mourning over the plague of the locusts.
King James Version, verse 2. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Verse 2, commentary. Hear this, you leaders of the people. Everyone listen, exclamation. In all your history, has anything like this ever happened before?
No. At this time, there was a famine, a great famine. That had never hit Judah before, because God sent them to the land of milk and honey, and there was always to be an abundance of everything, and they always will be if people serve the Lord. But it was because that there had been so many demonic spirits entered into the land, and they didn't get rid of all the people that the Lord told them to get rid of in Israel or in Judah, and there were a lot of satanic people there. And they started taking on their ways. And so in an attempt to wake them up from their wickedness, the Lord sent one of the most grievous famines that ever hit anywhere in the world at that particular time. But there have been many famines down through the years, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of them, and the Lord would not be mincing over a famine as much as he seems to be doing, seemingly does in this, Joel in this chapter. What he is doing is showing people, talking to them in symbolic language and telling them this famine was caused because of your listening to false doctrine and because of your hypocrisy, because you're not hearkening unto me, you're not obeying my words, and so I've sent this famine. But the moral of the story is get back to the word of the Lord, because there was no word of God in the land at that time. And God said that he'll even obscure his word from people that show no interest in it, and they become so hardened. And a lot of people call it gospel hardened, but the gospel never hardens anybody. The gospel actually softens people's hearts. You hear all these Christians say, well, they're gospel hardened. In other words, they've heard so much gospel that they got hard from it. The more gospel you hear, the softer your heart gets. if it's preached to you in the Spirit. People get hard from rejecting the gospel. So if you get tired of the gospel, it's only because of the fact that you're not hearing enough gospel, or you're not receiving it into you. The gospel hardens no one. But then the Lord says when people don't call on him and don't want to, they just set his word aside as though it's nothing, well, then he'll send a famine on the land also for the word of the Lord. And it states that in Amos 8:11. So read that, Sharon.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
Right, so they didn't care, they just wanted to live in a wicked way, so he wouldn't send prophets and preachers and teachers. And so people dry up spiritually, and they never get the Lord. They never get the word of the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not in them, and they have no strength or power. So they wander about in a daze, not knowing where to go or what to do. And when famine hits, and all the other different plagues that God is sending in these last days, they're dizzy, and they're full of fear, and terrified, because they have no guidance from the Lord. So he himself will cut people off from his word and then let them fall into every diverse type of terror that could possibly even be imagined in this earth. He says, people say you God. They say they're gods. God is not God. Take the Bibles out of school. We're God. The government is God. God said to those kind of people, he says, I'm going to send people that with swords to kill you. And when they're sticking the sword in your belly and slicing your throat with the sword, will you then tell them that you're God? Because God can't die. And when they're shoving a sword down your throat or in your guts, will you tell them, I'm God? When they see blood coming out of your mouth and your eyeballs bugging out like the eyes on a tromped-on toad. Because really, if you look in through the Word of God, you see how little man is to be accounted of. He says we're all born just like wild asses are out on the desert. You just come out of the rear end of an animal, bloody and wet and stinking. It's amazing how highly esteemed some people think they are when they're nothing but glorified sperm without Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Grown-up sperm. And then you look and say, oh, that's funny, or he shouldn't be saying that. Well, you should see what the Lord says about human beings that reject him. You should really see, he calls you dogs, pigs, vipers, snakes, scorpions. He doesn't have much good to say about people. It's only those that receive him and do his work that he esteems highly. The rest, he said, is like chaff or garbage. So don't esteem yourself so high. Don't set your eyes on some profession in this world as though you're going to be somebody, because once you hear the word of the Lord and you don't do what the Lord says, something will happen. Some one of his plagues, or maybe a dozen of his plagues, there was like drought, famine in the land, and fire. And many people just barely escaped those plagues. And the plagues that he speaks of in the days that we're living in are so immense, so much stronger than those. He says that if you think that this famine is something, wait till you see what's coming up next. You ain't seen nothing yet, folks. You ain't seen nothing and you ain't heard nothing yet. Amen? Because the whole world is going to be moved off of its axis buildings are going to be flying through, and automobiles and buses and trucks are going to be flying through the air just like confetti. And you too. But those that are in the Lord won't have to worry about that day. We're not going to be raptured out of tribulations, because Jesus said when he comes back to get us, it will be immediately after the tribulations. You're going to be confronted with the mark of the beast, and you're going to have to be filled with the Word of God in order to be able to have the power to resist it. Because if you take the mark of the beast, it's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, if you take the mark of the beast, there's no forgiveness from God for you in this world, nor is there any forgiveness for you in the world to come. You're condemned, doomed, and what's more, he lets you know it. And all you can do is walk around with a scowl, a fearful scowl on your face, the rest of your life, just waiting for the axe to fall on your miserable, scrawny neck. Now, some of you that are fat as hogs, you probably take that as a compliment, that I said scrawny neck. But, you know, whatever size your neck is, it's not going to be pleasant, all right? Okay, so let's read on.
King James Version, verse 3. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children.
Right, what he means is don't tell them just about the plague. Say the plague was awful, but tell your children why the plague came. Why? Because you didn't pay any attention to my word. You wouldn't hearken unto my word to do it. And I wanted to represent myself in you, Israel. I wanted the world to know that this is my chosen people, that this is a 4-star company, a 5-star company, the best there is, like in the Navy, a meatball company. A perfect bunch of people, to where the world can look at you and admire you, but you didn't do it. And you are making me, the Almighty God, look like a fool for choosing you people. It's the same as like trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot and putting him out to an open shame. For people that say they're Christians and they don't do what the Lord says. And really, the word Jew means one that believes in God. If you believe in God, you believe in Christ. Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in my Father's house are many mansions. My Father lives in many mansions, in many people's bodies. If it were not true, it's just not me. I'm not the only one that God will live in. He'll live in you for his mansion, his temple, his body. And he wants you all to be members of his body. Now, tell your children this, that that's what God wanted to happen, and we didn't let him do it. And so there was a famine to where lots of people died, lots of cattle and sheep. The water holes dried up, and there was fire. And we suffered greatly over it. But we suffer more, we're mourning. We mourn because we don't know what to do. We're like perplexed. What shall we do? The solution is just repent to me and get back to God. Then God is able to fill the water brooks back up again. Amen?
Amen.
And to send food. And to take away the drought and the famine and locusts that ate everything up that they had. Okay, then what?
This is verse 3. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children.
Is this King James Version? Yes, it is. Okay, then what?
And their children another generation.
Yeah, not just about the famine, but the reason. Okay, that's it. What good would it do? Boy, we really was hungry. We really were hungry. What does that mean? I mean, there's a famine over in Africa right now, and everybody knows they're hungry, but really, you know, hardly anybody's doing anything about it except people that are of the Lord. People of the Lord are taking care of some of those. There's water over there that they're drinking that's got dung floating around in it. But most of the people in the world don't care anything about that. They figure they're warmed and filled, they've got a nice place to live, and they got bottled water. So it isn't a big thing, but to hear why it happened. That's the meaningful thing that you're to tell your children and pass it down from one generation to the other. Amen?
Amen.
Don't mess with the Lord, because it doesn't make any difference how affluent you are at the moment. God can take, knife, fork, and the spoon out of your hand and take your plate away. And not only that, he'll send your soul to hell. Because he says he'll cut everyone off that forgets God. He'll kill everyone that forgets him. How could you forget the one that made you like a mud patty out of the dirt of the ground and blew his breath in you and then gives you food every day and air to breathe and water? You're not respectful enough of the Almighty God. And so therefore, he wants to teach you lessons. Hopefully that you'll cry out to him like little birds, and then he will come down and forgive you if you continue on serving him. But if not, you don't stand a chance. Then what?
Commentary, verse 3. Tell your children about it in the years to come. Pass the awful story of it down from generation to generation. King James Version, verse 4. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten.
These are the different kinds of satanic beings that have taken this part of the Word of God away and turned it into something else, and then taken another part of the Word of God away and made it into something else, and stated that God is only love and there's no wrath and he doesn't hate people. This is false. Because it's just the Gentile way of fashioning themselves the Word of God, which is their own Word of God, and which is not the Word of God at all, because it makes it to where it's a comfortable place for them to go to church. And it makes them feel good to hear nice things about themselves. If they're fornicators, that it's all right to fornicate. If they're adulterers or lesbians or homosexuals, that's okay too. There's all kinds of special churches for special kind of perverts. And so the Lord calls these different proverbs a certain variety of locust. Amen?
Amen.
And they're prophets. Or punk, some kind of worm. All right? But it's actually four different types. It states in the original that it's the four different kinds of chewing locust, which is the type of a grasshopper. They look sort of like grasshoppers. I used to catch grasshoppers in the field in Montana and pop their heads off and pull their legs off. I was a really mean little brat when I was a kid. Okay, and I bet you they would have liked me around when that famine was on to pull the heads off of those locusts, because they were making them starve to death, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 4. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, the produce, the swarming locusts took what was left! After them came the hopping locusts, and then the stripping locusts as well! King James Version, verse 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl.
Awake, you people. You know, when you're drunk, you don't know what you're doing. You mean you don't pay any attention to the word of the Lord. Awake, you people that don't pay any attention to the Lord, is what that means. Then what? Awake. Then what?
King James Version, verse 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth.
Yeah, because you're not receiving the Spirit of the Lord every day. And don't you know, you drunk idiots, that if you're not receiving the word of the Lord on a daily basis, if you're not being infilled with the Spirit, if the word is not being transfused into you on a daily basis, that you're going to die and go to hell? Awake. Wake up. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 5. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep! All the grapes are ruined, and all your new wine is gone!
All the souls that you were trying to cultivate, that the Lord wanted to cultivate, are destroyed. All the people out there that God wanted to be saved, because you didn't become a preacher, and you didn't want to learn how to be a preacher, and you didn't want the power of God in you to stand up so that people would pay attention to you when you preach, because of your great testimony that you were able to endure hardness, you were able to go to prison, you were able to be stoned, and you didn't quit serving the Lord because there was so much fear of God in you that made people to know that you really believe there's a God, and that you just kept trucking, you just kept distributing literature, kept preaching the gospel no matter what they did to you, but you didn't do anything at all, and so all the vines were destroyed, all the little grapes that would have come, the harvest of new souls, because you didn't have it in you to want to distribute the word of the Lord. Okay, then what? Finish that off again, that line.
Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. All the grapes are ruined, and all your new wine is gone.
And there's no new wine. There's nothing new from the Lord on a daily basis. And the Lord loves to give you a daily menu of things that he wants you to do. And if you're not thinking about him, concentrating on him, meditating or thinking on him both day and night, you're not getting the new wine and the latter rain. And you don't even know it. You're so spiritually stupid. And you think you're so smart because you can maybe have a pocket full of money. Or some of you don't even have money and you think you're smart. I mean, how stupid. Even before I was saved, I said, if you're smart, why ain't you rich? I really don't use the word ain't. I'm just doing that because, you know, the era of time that we're living in, okay? Why aren't you rich if you're so smart? But more importantly, why aren't you a Christian? Why aren't you paying attention to the word of the Lord? Why aren't you doing what he says? Because don't you know that you could die any second? And if you didn't pay any attention to him, he says when you cry out to him and ask him, oh, please, God, don't let me go to hell, he'll just mock you and say, oh, please, God, don't send my soul to hell. And then you say, oh, my God, he's mocking me. Yes, oh, my God, he's mocking me, God will say back to you. And you say, no, God. And he says, no, God. Please, God, don't, he'll say back. Don't you know, he says he'll do that. He brags about it in chapter 1 of Proverbs. Amen?
Amen.
He brags that he'll mock you and laugh at you when your fear comes like a flood. He'll laugh at you. Can you think of anything? I can't think of anything worse than God laughing at you when you're going into hell. The Almighty God, the only one that could spare you, save you. He said, but because you shined me on, you paid no attention to my word while you were alive, you considered that my word was nothing instead of the power of the whole universe. Don't you know that I spoke the whole universe into being with my word, you idiot? And then you think it's nothing? I spoke you into existence with my word. You're just a figment of my imagination, you little monkey, you. And you paid no attention to my word. They laugh at you. Oh, God, please. You were so haughty and high-minded. Now look at you, little monkey. Quivering in the corner, you little nothing, you. Oh, my God. That's the Almighty God. I didn't know he had a personality like that. If I would have known you were that way, Lord, I would have straightened up. Well, you didn't read. I brag about being that way in the Word of God. Why didn't you read it? Dummy? You were too busy with your comic books or the daily newspaper. What good is that doing you now? Or you were looking up different catalogs to buy pretty clothes. You're not going to wear any clothes over here. It's just work clothes. Now your name is Manual Labor. Manual S. Labor. Workhouse. Because you didn't do anything for me, you just lounged around on earth. From now on, you're going to work, and you're never going to sit down. You won't even be able to breathe. You'll just be suffocating for eternity. No food, no water, no sitting down, no rest. Just keep working. And then you hear him laughing at you. I don't want that, do you?
No.
And all that could happen tonight? This afternoon, whenever you're listening, it's in the morning. Morning, night, and noontime, too. Really, it could happen to you. It's going to happen one of these days. The breath is going to leave your body. Don't you know that? Well, the Lord says so. And if you don't believe it, go down to the graveyard, the bone orchard, and check it out. Those guys thought they were pretty hot stuff at one time, too. They figured the world couldn't go on without them, and the world's still spinning, amen?
Yeah.
So if you think you're such hot stuff, you know, come down to earth, pal. All right? You've got a crude awakening coming if you don't. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 6. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number.
This is a nation of demon spirits that got a hold on you and caused you to have God send this famine on you. And now he sent a swarm, a nation of grasshopper-type looking things called locusts, and just chewed up all the stuff that you used to fork into your mouth and your spoon into your mouth. And you got nothing to eat no more. It all went into the locust's mouth. You listen to the false prophets, is why. God is just going to bless you, and he's going to bless you. It doesn't make any difference what you're doing. He just blesses you. He's your God unconditionally. He'll just do anything for you no matter what you do. Isn't that what the false prophets say today?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Everything with God is conditional. He says, I am your friend if you keep all my commandments. If. That's a condition, amen?
Amen.
If you keep all my commandments, it's the condition. But he says, a person that says that he loves me will keep my commandments. So a person that says he loves me and keeps not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Not in him. Then what?
King James Version, verse 6. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lion can kill you, but so can a famine. Amen?
Amen.
So can a locust. They eat up all your food, you're dead, right?
Yeah.
Eat up, and your cattle can't eat, and so you can't have any pork chops. Of course, but they're probably eating pork chops. You couldn't pay any attention to what the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
They weren't supposed to be eating pork, but they did. There were swine herders there, right?
Yeah.
Jesus had to send a bunch of them into the water. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 6. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion.
Yeah, the Lord says that, the devil is going to and fro like a lion, amen, to and fro,
amen.
Seeking who he can devour.
Amen.
Well, don't you think that's sort of like the devil, eh?
Yes.
Okay, then what they did.
Commentary, verse 6. A vast army of locusts, bracket, symbolic of lying demons living in false prophets, end bracket, has come up against my, bracket, God's, bracket, land.
Yeah. A bunch of these people, evil spirits, this army has come up against God's land, my land. It says, and it's in caps, my, M-Y, my, capital M, God speaking. Okay, then what?
Strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion, bracket, as a lion devouring whoever he can, end bracket.
Yeah, he'll devour you if you let him. If you just don't pay any attention. How do you let him? Just don't pay attention to what the Lord says, and you're letting the devil get you. Just don't concentrate or think about him all day long. Forget God, and the Lord says he'll tear you to pieces. Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yes.
And how does he tear us to pieces? Well, he does it in several ways. He'll send a satanic being or something like that to get you and tear you to pieces. Then what?
King James Version, verse 7. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. he has with false teaching laid waste my God's vine, destroyed the souls.
My God's, my, and then God's vine, okay? He's destroyed the souls. Then what else?
Destroyed the souls of God's people with false teaching.
And because the people of God believed it. Instead of reading the Bible, they listened to just whoever was preaching, and they just, if they got a nice personality, and they say a lot of things that are true, they'll even let them slip in some false things that they teach. And that's like cankerworms or like a certain kind of a locust, all right? Then what?
Commentary. And ruined my God's fig tree, the soul winners.
And ruined God's fig tree. That means the fig tree that bears fruit, the soul winners, the preachers, they actually even ruined the very elect, the ones that were out there preaching. And there's many people that are ministers of the gospel that have fallen away from the Lord and shall spend eternity in hell. I know we've had them come to our church and call us out into the car because they didn't want people to recognize them. And Sue and I would go out in the car with them, big time evangelists, and they'd be weeping their eyes out to us and telling us that they failed and God has let them know and that God has taken this. They feel that God has taken the spirit away from them. And so we'd pray with them and tell them, you know, just get back to God. Repent. Just so long as you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and don't ever get back into that false doctrine of yours. Yes, ministers of the gospel, by the hundreds of thousands, have fallen away from the Lord. And go ahead.
Commentary, verse 7. He has with false teaching laid waste God's vine, destroyed the souls of God's people with false teaching, and ruined God's fig tree, the soul winners, those who preach. He has stripped it bare of the truth of God and thrown it away. He steals, destroys, and kills. Its branches are made white.
All these are people that have the spirit of Satan living in them. He comes to steal, destroy, and kill. Amen?
Amen.
All he wants is to destroy, kill your soul and destroy it, and to steal the blessings of the Lord, your eternal life, your place in heaven, your place in the body of Christ. He knows he's going to hell and he wants company. He wants you. He wants your soul. That's all. It wouldn't be such a big deal if it was for a night or a day, but it's forever. And forever never ends. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 8. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Commentary, verse 8.
Yeah, it's like a woman that's espoused to be married, and the one that she wants to be married to gets killed. This is like people that the husband of your youth should be the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We've heard that in the Song of Solomon, right?
Right.
And lament, because he has virgins without number, and he wants to be a husband to everybody. But now there's no spirit of the Lord. There's no getting a hold of the Lord, because people just set it naught, his word. And he tells you very plainly what he'll do to people like you for that, or anybody. If I do, as Paul did, he says, I'd be a castaway also. He said, after I've written more than two-thirds of the New Testament, I would be a castaway too, Paul said, if I would not preach the gospel. Woe be unto me if I preach not this gospel. Everlasting woe. So if he would be in woe, how much more you, who haven't even written one word in the New Testament. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 8. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Israel has been separated from God. King James.
Right. Israel has been, spiritual Israel has been separated from Christ, the husband of her youth. Christ is, he wants to be the husband, and he wants us to be his bride. And he's going to have a bride. God will always have what he seeks for. He did all this down through history to appropriate a bride for himself. Somebody that would think the same way he does, that would walk the same way he does, that would do the same things with him. Somebody that wouldn't let the devil talk to him all day long and think it's cute. But somebody that would utterly reject the devil the minute that he attempts to talk to him. The Lord doesn't like people that sit there and listen to Satan, that entertain Satan, or let Satan entertain them. Beware how you hear and who you're listening to. Then what?
King James Version, verse 9. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord.
The Lord says for us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you can't, if you don't know how to do that, if you're not eating and drinking his word, which is the Lord is the word. Amen?
Amen.
He's the meat offering and the drink offering. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? So this is all symbolic. This is another one of those symbolic books. And I've never read it on this wise. The Lord gave me this message years and years ago. Do you remember when I wrote a tract on this, but I never released it?
Yes.
It was about as big as maybe a New York or two New York phone books.
Yes.
And it got so lengthy that I didn't see how I could put it out because it was so lengthy. And I couldn't, so I'm glad I'm putting it on tape now. But there's no other commentary that you'll hear like this in this whole wide world. All right? Then what?
King James Version, verse 9. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn.
You should mourn. You know, if you're not a soul winner and if you've left off from preaching the Word of God, they know, the minister knows that he's going to hell. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 9. The grain offering and the drink offering has been cut off from the house of the Lord.
Okay, what is the grain offering? That's the, you make bread out of grain. Amen. The bread of life. Jesus, amen?
Amen.
It says the grain offering and what?
And the drink offering.
Right, and the blood of Jesus has been what?
Cut off from the house of the Lord.
It's been cut off from the house of God. You can't, there's no more eating and drinking of the word of the Lord. You go to some church and you don't get that anymore, is what they're saying. And no wonder the Lord's trying to get them back to him, trying to get them to repent, so he sends a famine, a grievous one. And they want their children's children to tell it from one generation to another, and also to tell why. And if they're not spiritual enough to understand this symbolic language, well, then that's bad. Then somebody needs to explain it to them. Amen?
Amen.
And nobody's going to listen to it if they just say, well, this was a famine, and it was a very grievous famine, and, oh, it was terrible. And they don't tell why. And there's no other commentary like this that shows the symbolic meaning, the real meaning of this. I don't know if the whole meaning of it. But then what else?
Commentary, verse 9. There is no true doctrine and no communion with the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
King James.
Right, because all they failed and there's no more congregation. They said, where's all the congregation at? They went away. Because the vine, the grapes have dried up. And the seed has dried up and withered under the clods. In other words, they threw seed out, little messages here and there, but they never watered, continued watering the message so that the seed never came up. Amen?
Amen.
See, you have to go by the whole word of God, like Jesus, the parable of the sower. Okay, keep going.
King James Version, verse 10. The field is wasted, the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth.
Right. It's the same to the Spirit. The oil, the Spirit. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 10. The field, the world.
Well, the field is the world. Amen. Jesus said, the sower went out to sow, he went into the field, and Jesus said, the field is the world. Okay? And he said, and they went to sow some seed, and he said, the seed is the word of God. Amen. So we have to go by what Jesus says. Amen.
Amen.
So when he's talking seed and field, we know it's the world. Amen.
Amen.
And we know it's the word. Because that, the Lord doesn't change. He's not like human beings. They change. They have mood cycles. The Lord doesn't walk in moods or feelings. He walks by faith. And that's what every Christian must be, identical to him. We must walk by faith in the word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 10. The field, the world, is wasted. The land mourns. For the grain, the bread of life, is ruined. The new wine is dried up.
Yeah, the new wine. In other words, there's no word of God to make the spirit flow.
Verse 10, commentary. The field, the world, is wasted. The land mourns. For the grain, the bread of life, is ruined. The new wine is dried up. There is no spirit-filled message.
There's not no spirit of God. And that's why the spirit is all... There's no spirit. It's the church is dried up. Then what?
The oil fails.
The spirit fails. It doesn't... there's like, it talks about the 10 virgins. 5 of them are wise and the 5 are foolish. And the 5 foolish ones allowed the spirit to dwindle out. They didn't refill themselves with the spirit on a daily basis. And so they needed oil in their lamps because their lamps went out. And if you're not interested in the word of God, then your oil has gone out many long years ago. And if I were you, the Lord says, even if that has happened, do all you can to try to get some oil in your lamp. Read, read, read. Amen.
Amen.
And abide, believe, believe, and just keep doing what he says. Okay, then what?
The oil fails, no spirit.
There's no spirit. The oil has gone out of your lamp. That's what happened there. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 11. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl.
Yeah, be ashamed, O you farmers. Don't you remember I did a tract on God's farm?
Yes.
A husbandman is a farmer. You people that are supposed to, what are we farming? We're farming for souls. And we're sowing seed into the field. Okay? We're soul farmers. We're sowing seed and we water the seed. Okay, so read that.
King James Version, verse 11. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers.
All you people that work out in the field that are supposed to have been witnessing and testifying. We're on God's farm. You're supposed to be out there bringing in the sheaves. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished.
Yeah, the souls out there have perished because you didn't go out and distribute literature. You didn't go out there and witness the people on the streets. And everyone in the world was perishing. And do you think that God is not going to pour out his wrath on you for not paying any attention to doing what he wants you to do? He came into the world to save sinners, and you didn't want to help him. You didn't want to be a helpmate to him. You didn't want to be his bride. Okay, then what?
Verse 11, commentary. Be ashamed, you farmers, you preachers. Wail, you vine dressers, you who were to minister, for the wheat and the barley, for the souls who never received the word of God, because the harvest of the field, world, has perished.
Right, you didn't sow any seed, you didn't water it, you went out at harvest time to pick all the stuff that's supposed to be there, all the produce, and there's nothing there. And then you wonder why. A farmer would know why. He knows if he doesn't sow a seed and water it, or cultivate it first, he'd know that there's nothing to go out and get, right?
Right.
Don't put anything in your backyard, see if anything grows out there. Then go out and plant seed and see if and water it and see if something will happen. It will. Same thing happens when you preach the word of God. Something will happen if you do it. But if you don't do it, nothing is going to happen except to you. And you're not going to like what happens. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 11. Those who were to have received life never heard it, and it is because of you. Mm-hmm. King James Version, verse 12. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men.
Can you read it?
Commentary, verse 12. The vine has dried up, Christ wasn't preached, and the fig tree has withered. the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, different levels of those who would have been Christians.
Yeah, no fruit came out of them. There was no fruit. And this is all different levels of people. He talks about all the different kind of trees. It's different levels of position in the ministry. You just never took your place in the ministry. You just thought, well, we got, you know, there was prosperity in that time, and they just figured that that was it. As long as they're feeling warmed and filled, and they have plenty of money, and that's all it is. We don't have to worry about the rest of the slobs on earth, is the way they think. The bugs, they're just to be stepped on, right? Bugs. Even though the Lord died for them, that's all you think about them as bugs. We're supposed to think of them as the Lord thinks of them. The Lord thought enough about all the people in the world to die for them. And he wants to have people working for him that is concerned about that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary in verse 12. All the trees of the field, world, are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men.
Withered means that there's no fruit on them. They're supposed to have gotten saved, and they're supposed to have learned how to be evangelists, and then they were supposed to have gone out and bore fruit. Not just fruit, but good fruit. Because every evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Only evil trees can bring forth evil fruit. So if you're a person that doesn't bring home any fruit, bear any fruit, well, then you're an evil tree. And if you're a good tree, you cannot bring forth evil fruit. You'll only bring forth good fruit. Good, lots of souls. God doesn't care about you singing songs. He never came into the world so you could sing songs, especially secular songs. I quit the secular business almost 40 years ago to come in and just try to win souls, as many as I can. Because it's amazing how many souls a person can save, no matter how unaccomplished you are in that at all. You never knew anything about that. I didn't know anything about that at all. But, I mean, I've won souls. Amen?
Amen.
And you can do it too. Hey, if I could do it, you could. You can. If you want to. But if you don't want to, then you're not material for heaven. You can't enter heaven with that kind of an attitude. Then what?
King James Version, verse 13. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests.
Yeah, put your belt on. Belt yourself up, you priests, and lament. And what?
Howl, ye ministers of the altar.
Yeah, you got a lot to howl about, because you're going to even howl worse in hell, the lake of fire. Then what?
Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God.
When it says lay in sackcloth, that means fast. Anytime people put sackcloth on, that means they're fasting. The two witnesses will be fasting all the days of their ministry. They'll be wearing sackcloth. Now, they may not be fasting for everything, but they may fast half-time for certain, or just be dwindled down to certain kinds of food, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They only ate certain types of food. And some of the people in the Bible ate only pulse for as many years, 21 years, and even more. Then what?
Lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God.
Right, you're not eating and drinking the living God, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Christ says, he says, you must eat his flesh and drink his blood, or you in no wise can enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Word of God, the eating his flesh and drinking his blood, is the Word of God. And do what he says. Then what?
Commentary verse 13. Put your belt on and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering, the bread of life, and the drink offering, for souls...
The blood of Jesus, then what?
For souls who will give help to those who are burdened, for souls are withheld from the house of your God. King James...
No, the drink offering, which is the blood of Jesus, and meat offering, which is eating the flesh of Christ and drinking his blood, is withheld. There's nobody that is instructing people that you have to read. And even if you're instructing them, a lot of people think you just have to instruct them twice, once or twice. But you have to you know, if people don't have the gumption in them to just do that on a daily basis, people have to re-remind them. That's why the Bible says that the reproof of the word of the Lord, that you have to read it every day to keep reproving yourself, because our minds are just made out of dirt, our carnal minds, and we have to keep our flesh under. And there's the spirit in the word that causes our flesh to be mortified or killed on a daily basis. And we're going through the hour of temptation. There's all sorts of temptations in the world today, and we have to keep our minds stayed steady on the Lord. We have to be thinking about Him all the time. You say, well, I can't do that. You know, you won't be able to do it all at once, I reckon. But you have to keep exercising your spiritual muscles on a daily basis so that they get so strong that you just automatically do it without even thinking. That's what I had to do. See, I am from the health studio business, and I know that if you work your muscles, that they're going to be strong. If you don't, you go to pot. You have to keep that up every day, your spiritual exercises. You have to make yourself obey to be subject to the Spirit. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 14. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders.
Yeah, do anything you like. See, now he's saying, call yourself a fast. So it couldn't be that the famine was so bad. I mean, if the famine means that you're on a fast, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's obvious there that they're not really talking about food so much, so there must have been some kind of food around there, right? Or else they wouldn't say fast now. And who would ever tell anybody to fast when they don't have any food? I mean, that'd be a stupid thing to say, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So he's saying, sanctify yourself a fast. I mean, don't take any food at all. Get down and let's get back in the Spirit so God can start blessing us and turn this whole thing around. Amen?
Amen.
And let's get souls. Let's win souls. Let's get everybody back to God. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 14. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your
all
God.
All the inhabitants into the land. Because everybody's being affected by this famine. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, that means call everybody in the United States into the place, into the valley. What, the valley of decision? Yeah, we don't want you to make just any decision. You have to make a decision for Christ today, and you got to do it now. So just kneel down and ask the Lord to enter your heart now and cleanse your sins away in the blood of Jesus. Then what?
King James Version, verse 14. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord.
Well, how do you do it? You go out into the streets, into the highways, the hedges, into every nation, every tongue, every kindred, and invite them in. And if they won't come, if they won't come into the church, you get the church to them. You're the church. Amen?
Amen.
Get some tracts to them, and get the word, get so filled with the word that it's just pouring out of you. Like a cup that's so full that it overflows. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then go.
Commentary, verse 14. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord.
Don't just pray to the Lord. Cry out with your heart. Not with your lips, but with your heart. Lord God, we've failed you. We know that if we continue this way, we're going to hell. Father God, in the name of Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon us and give us the words to say to people. And pray, Lord, we pray that you'll lead us to somebody today to witness to and testify to, so that we'll be able to, and we'll go out and hunt for them. Did you know the Lord? We go out and say to people, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm a member of the family of the Lord. I'm a member of the kingdom of heaven. And I can tell you how to get there if you'd like. And get out there and start telling them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Commentary, verse 15. Alas, for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Verse 16, King James Version. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God?
It's the most beautiful thing. It's full of joy, you know, when you hear a message that is filled with the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
You can feel the Lord in you, inside of you. I mean, he's just there, and it just makes you feel happy to know that he's close, and not only close, but in you. That's as close as you can get, amen?
Amen.
That's a real marriage. Okay, what else?
Commentary, verse 16. Is not the food cut off from before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God.
See, I did a whole series of messages where the Lord is our food. Amen?
Amen.
He's our drink. Amen?
Amen.
He's our everything. He's our air. Okay, so we can't let the food be cut off from the house of the Lord. That's why the Lord told me, I just assumed everybody's reading the word and understanding it, but they're not. And so the Lord said, you read to them. And we were not being blessed that much until I started doing that. Amen?
Amen.
Now everybody's happy. Amen?
Amen.
At least you, I think you are. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 17. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate.
Right, see, if you sowed seed out there and you don't continue watering, what, the seed rots underneath the soil. And then it doesn't come up. It needs water. Why? I don't know. The Lord said so, and that's just the way it is. Okay, maybe he'll show us on the other side. I mean that we need food and water too, right? Why? I don't know. But the Lord knows. Amen?
Amen.
And he's right, because if you don't, you wither up and die, right?
Right.
So does the seed, the Word of God. If it doesn't get watered every day, it won't grow. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 17. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered.
Yeah, the actual... There's no brothers and sisters. In order to have brothers and sisters, you got to go out there and get them, win them. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, we're just getting worked to death. We'll go out and get laborers. Amen?
Amen.
We need help. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Commentary, verse 17. The seed grain shrivels under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. The oil has run out on the ministers.
Yeah, it's run out on the ministers. There's no oil in them. It's like they're the foolish virgins. They're not ministering the Spirit, because there's no Spirit in them to minister. In order to have Spirit in you to minister, you have to read the Word every day to get the Spirit in you. You know, if you pour the milk or the milk out of a bottle, or the soda out of a bottle, whatever you prefer to drink, there's no more in there. You have to tank back up with it again. Amen? With the Word?
Amen.
So that you can pour it out again tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it works. You got to tank up every day, and you got to pour out every day. And then you tank up every day, and you pour out every day. I have to go in and study to get these messages. Amen?
Amen.
You can tell that I'm studying, can't you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you'll get messages, too, if you study. And you'll fill up with the tank up with the Spirit, and then you pour it out, and you'll want to fill up again. Amen?
Amen.
I feel empty when I poured it all out. I've got to get something in me. Just like you don't. Some of these Indians, they said in Palm Springs, they got sold that land for a lot of money, some of them. And they'd buy new Cadillacs, and they'd run out of gas, and they'd say, no good, and they'd just leave it on the highway. No, all you got to do is fill it back up. Amen? With gas. You can't have that type of an attitude. You got to keep drinking. Amen?
Amen.
Pour it full of gas. That's the word is the gas. Amen?
Amen.
Tank up. Fill it full of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 18. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. Commentary, verse 18. How the beasts groan! Exclamation mark. People want to hear the good news, but no one is preaching it.
No one is feeding them. No one is feeding them. It's amazing how people are receptive to the Word of God. You know, they want to hear it. They want to hear something, that there's something in the universe other than this rancid, condemned world. I mean, they're so depressed that they're taking drugs, they're committing suicide, they're getting drunk on booze. They're sniffing glue, gas, taking uppers, downers, chewing morning glory seeds, anything to, you know, get their mind into orbit, because they just don't want to face the reality of what's in this world. But you read the Word of God, and that takes you into the real world. The real world is not this one. If it were that real, it wouldn't be burned up one of these days, condemned. But heaven is the real world. Then what?
Commentary on verse 18. The herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture, no true place to eat and drink the pure Word of God. Even the flocks of sheep bleat in misery. The cattle wander around confused.
Yeah, the whole world is in confusion because they don't know the Lord's purpose. They don't know why they were born. They say, what am I? Who am I? Even Marlon Brando, he says he acts all kinds of parts, but he doesn't know who he really is. One minute he's Napoleon, and the next day he's Hitler or Himmler or somebody. But he doesn't know who he is, and he should read the Word of God so that he can tell who he is. Amen?
Amen.
And who his God is. And what his purpose should be, okay? People are trying to find a purpose, you know. He wants to help the Indians. Well, we want to help the whole world, amen?
Amen.
So if he wants to help somebody, everybody's in desperation. Everybody's confused. They're wandering around in confusion. Okay? But the Word of God sends all that. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 19. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. Commentary, verse 19. Lord, help us! ! The fire has consumed the pastures and burned up all the trees.
This is the work of the devil. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 20. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Commentary, verse 20. Even the wild animals cry out to you, because they have no water to drink.
Right, see, that's the wilderness. The wild animals are out in the wilderness. The domestic animals are in the barn. Okay, then what?
The streams have dried up, and fire has consumed the pastures.
Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and that was tape number three. Chapter 1 of the book of Joel. We'll do chapter 2 tomorrow, Lord willing. Praise the Lord. God bless till then. Amen.